This is a conversation with Caitlin Albertoli, CEO and co-founder of Bass Solutions, an AI company modernizing utility infrastructure. She studied psychology and international relations at Stanford and now helps utilities cut inspection analysis time by up to 80%. I loved how her unique path into AI brings a fresh, human-centered perspective to solving big energy challenges.
Great. Hi, Caitlin. Thank you very much for joining the Humans and AI podcast. I really like your journey. It's very interesting. Yeah, let's dive into it. For what I've seen, you grew up in California, so I guess that you're from here as well, where there's a lot of problems with the fires, wildfires. But the funny thing in this is that you studied psychology and international relations at Stanford. So can you share a little bit how did you end up building your own startup as a co-founder and CEO, but you started as mostly psychology? So I would like to understand the story behind that.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to have this conversation. Yes, my path into the energy and sustainability space was not the traditional path. I did major in international relations and psychology at Stanford, and I had interest in more of the business spaces. Particularly, I was interested in the business realm, but really wanted to find an area in my career where I could also have an impact. So that was something that was really important to me. And that's what ultimately led me to join the sustainable food nonprofit, which was a great nonprofit that I was a part of. I ended up employing 60 people and oversaw about 300 people. And that was my catalyst of interest into the world of sustainability. That's ultimately what then led me to take the Launchpad course where we launched Buzz Solutions from. And the Launchpad course that we were focused on, the theme of the Launchpad course, it was focused on building a startup in the energy and sustainability space. So that's a combination of things there. But you mentioned, yes, I did grow up in Southern California. I'm from a beach town called San Clemente. So people are familiar with San Clemente for a couple of different reasons, but in the energy space, the nuclear power plant, the San Onofre nuclear power plant, was a prominent power plant down here in Southern California, and it was shut down a while ago. But growing up in Southern California, I was certainly exposed to a lot of different wildfires that happened and unfortunately continue to happen here. And I had several friends when I was growing up that were evacuated. Their homes were at risk from the wildfires. And I had one friend in particular. This one was really probably the most striking to me. There was a wildfire that was quite close to her neighborhood, and half of her neighborhood unfortunately lost their homes in this wildfire. And the reason that her family didn't lose their home was their neighbor was a firefighter and actually stayed behind and helped fight the fires for all of their homes on their side of the street. And that was particularly eye-opening for me at such a young age to see just how wildfires can have such a significant impact. And I guess bringing it full circle, that was where I said, I would love to find a world where I can bring an experience and an interest in business together with a company that's going to have an impact or create more lasting change, especially in the world of energy and sustainability.
I found it impressive, actually, because I actually read that, as you just told me about, actually, the whole thing about the project started at Stanford as a project. And now it became like a real business and build a real startup that helps to fix that problem. So you guys are trying to modernize energy infrastructures, right? I read a post of you saying that, I want to quote you a little bit about what you wrote, and then we could discuss a little bit about this. So you say, as U.S. data center power demand is projected to nearly double by 2028, the energy industry is facing real challenges in keeping up. Aging infrastructure, limited transmission capacity, and growing interconnection queues are all straining the system. Yeah. Basically, what do you mean with this?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time to be in the more broadly energy infrastructure space. But let's start off with utilities, which is ultimately where Buzz Solutions focuses. So at Buzz Solutions, we are a visual intelligence solution helping turn mass amounts of visual inspection data collected from utility inspections into prioritized actionable insights. What does that mean? It's a lot of buzzwords in there, but really what we do is we help take data collected from standard utility inspections of their high voltage lines, which are transmission lines, low voltage lines, their city lines, distribution lines, substations, which are the facilities that ultimately change the voltage to the power. And then we also are branching into some other areas of inspections. We help take all of that data collected from drones, helicopters, fixed wing aircrafts, ground-based data, static cameras even. We help utilities analyze it in a very efficient way so that their line workers and field crews can take action on that data and can accomplish more in a more efficient way. As we were talking about data centers coming online, we're talking about the massive demand on the grid. It's causing a significant strain on the physical components. The physical components like insulators on the transmission towers or distribution poles. It's causing massive strain on the transformers. And it's causing those pieces of equipment to fail at faster rates. Problem is, if you think of these utilities, they have thousands and hundreds of thousands of miles sometimes in their territory, and they are tasked with maintaining that infrastructure. And in order for us to onboard renewables onto the grid, in order for us to onboard data centers, in order for us to electrify at the rates that we are trying to electrify, all of these things are happening at one time. And it's putting this massive pressure on the physical components on the utility grid. But those same teams that have been maintaining the lines and the infrastructure for decades are now tasked with doing so much more work, and they have limited resources to be able to do that. And so a solution like Buzz comes in and helps parse through the massive amount of data so that utilities know where and when to send their crews to modernize their infrastructure faster. The other piece that I mentioned in that quote that you read there is the limited ability for us to build out new transmission infrastructure. So in the US, that's a really big challenge that we're facing right now. Basically, we're trying to bring all these new sources online, like renewables, data centers, all these things that I mentioned earlier, but we're not able to build enough new transmission infrastructure to meet that demand. And that's also putting even greater stress and strain on the physical infrastructure that we have currently today. And so that's why you'll often hear a phrase in the space that says, we can't build our way out of it. We have to upgrade our way out of it. And so that's really what people are talking about when you hear that phrase.
Okay. How does Bat Solutions implement AI in the process? Because I guess that you guys are embracing that, or maybe not.
Sure. Great question. So we launched as a AI solution back in 2017, before AI was cool in the utility space. Now we hear the word AI thrown around quite regularly. And oftentimes I think it's a little overused in this space. But when we launched Buzz, we launched with a really core problem that we were trying to solve. And it's the problem of utilities are collecting a lot of data, but they don't have a great way to manage the data, analyze it, and turn it into actionable insights. So the way it's currently done, or without AI, currently you have drone crews going out or helicopter crews going out into the field to collect the data. Once they've collected these images, oftentimes they're collecting hundreds of thousands and millions of images a year. Historically, they've had people manually analyzing every single image that's collected, and they'll draft up inspection reports. So if you can imagine people clicking through every image, drawing a bounding box on it and saying, this is an anomaly. And then they actually go through and draft an inspection report that gets handed out to the maintenance crews. It's incredibly time intensive. It's a very repetitive job, and it's really not one where humans are meant to do at scale. Oftentimes, the folks that are analyzing this data are highly trained linemen, field technicians, planners. They're highly skilled people in their particular trade as working within the utility. And the problem with that is when they're spending so much of their time manually analyzing data, they're not actually getting out to do the job that they are trained and highly skilled to do. And also, humans are great and can be maybe close to 100% accurate when they're looking at a small subset of images. But imagine if you're looking at images 8 hours a day at scale, hundreds of thousands of images. That's where humans are not as effective. And it's also not the best use of their time. And so that's where Buzz Solutions has come in to help be that kind of that central, I guess you'd say, that central brain that analyzes a mass amount of data and synthesizes it down to just the number of images that a human needs to take action on. At the end of the day, the human is still making the data-driven decision, but instead of them analyzing the data to then make the decision, the human gets to make more of the prioritized insight and decide where they want to send crews for maintenance.
Okay, makes sense. Caitlin, and you talk about having to prove yourself early in your career, especially because you were a young woman. What did that experience teach you?
I think it's a really interesting time to be in the utility space. We are certainly seeing many more young people come into the space, which is exciting. We're also seeing more women enter the space, which is also really great to see. I know many other women founders who are working on very exciting technologies in the utility space. And so I think that's really exciting to see. I'd also say in the last 5 years, we've seen a lot more openness to adopting new technologies, especially things like AI. We've seen AI has now become, as I mentioned earlier, it's definitely a hype. There's a lot of talk about AI. But I think what the positive thing has been is there's a lot more people who are integrating AI into their daily lives outside of just work. And so it's caused a lot more comfortability in testing some of these new technologies and seeing where it could help benefit their day-to-day job in addition to what they're using it for in their personal life. And that's where it's really opened up a conversation for how AI can help in the utility workflow. And that's ultimately where we found our position here at Buzz. So it's been an exciting time. I think it's also been really exciting for me personally to have the opportunity to work on something that's causing such significant impact and such value for so many folks that we're working with at the utility. It's just a really exciting opportunity. And I couldn't be more grateful to be working on this on a day-to-day basis.
Great. And do you have any mentor or now or before or a friend who really support you in this project to make it real? Because I believe that most of the times it's good that you have an idea, right? Oh, I want to do this, right? I want to make it happen. But if you don't have the right support and the right environment behind, like, this kind of support, I think, is very important to make things happen. Yeah. Do you have that experience or yeah?
Great question. Yes. Stanford has continued to be a tremendous ecosystem and wealth of mentorship, resources, connections for me personally, and then for us here at Buzz. We were very fortunate to launch from the course that we did at Stanford. The course was focused, as I mentioned before, on building a startup in the energy and sustainability space. But what it did as well is every 3 weeks, we had the opportunity to pitch Buzz to a massive panel of investors, other founders, CTOs, CEOs, CMOs, who gave us tremendous amounts of feedback. And I remember early on, someone told me, they said, the most valuable thing in life that you can get is feedback. Because in school, you may get feedback on your essays, on your tests as you're getting graded. But when you enter the real world, you don't have the opportunity for feedback nearly as much. And so while it can be daunting to get a massive amount of feedback, you know, take advantage of it, because that's one of the most valuable things that someone can give you, is take the time to give you that feedback. And that's really stuck with me all these years, is anytime someone will make the time to give feedback, I certainly am open to hearing it. And that's a culture that we like to foster here at Buzz as well, is one where we're open and transparent and we provide feedback bidirectionally to each other. That was super helpful in the early days when we launched Buzz. So talking about just that ecosystem, I'd say, I couldn't say it was one person in particular. It was really more of that, what that ecosystem fostered. And we still have really great connections to it. We were fortunate to secure a grant from the Tomcat Center, which is Tom Steyer's grant for innovation transfer. And our mentors that we had through that program have also been tremendously valuable for us even to this day.
Whoa, great. So you get in like investments from Stanford then, or for Basel?
No, they weren't investments. So the course that we launched from, it was really just almost like an incubator in a way. It was an equity free, just a course that we launched from. And then the grant that we received was for what they call innovation transfer. It's for taking ideas and technologies that came from a class or from research at Stanford to help commercialize those and ultimately build out an MVP, or minimum viable product. And then that grant is specific to the energy and sustainability space as well. So it's really focused on bringing new energy technologies to the space.
Great. So what's one moment with Buzz that made you think or realize that we are doing a great job, that there's something like happening, it's working, right? Do you have any story that you could share with us?
I think just seeing the way that our customers, we call our utility customers our partners in the space, because they truly are partners that are working with us. It's just the way that their face lights up when you see the way this helps their day-to-day job. That for me is the most rewarding thing, to also see that we can have a real impact to save them a mass amount of time. In a couple examples, we've seen this happen several times at this point, but in one example, and the utility was, we had about 35 people analyzing data on our platform across all of their transmission, which is the high voltage and distribution, the lower voltage inspections. And they were going through, and originally when they logged into our platform, they looked at the workflow and they said, "Ooh, I'm not sure that I want to adopt this." They said, "This is going to take a lot of time. And this is a lot different of a process than what I was used to doing," because this team in particular before, they were doing it with pen and paper. So their learning curve was just doing this on a software. So originally they log into our platform and they're saying, "Okay, we're going through the training. We're not sure if we want to do this." But within the first couple of weeks of using our platform, they were saving 50% of time per structure in analysis. So just within the first couple of weeks, they were saving 50% of time. By the time they were scaled with our solution, they were saving about 80% of time compared to what they were doing with pen and paper. And that was just on the structure analysis part of it. On an ongoing basis, they're actually saving even more time because we're helping them with things like trend analysis and understanding how the assets may be degrading over time. And our solution is really easy to access historical data as well. So it continues to save them massive time and improve their efficiency as they continue to use the tool. But what I thought was most, I guess you'd say, rewarding or exciting about these folks as they continued to use the tool was the feedback on the platform. Going back to that point of feedback, early on, they had mixed reviews on whether they were going to use it or whether it would be valuable. We had almost entirely 10-star reviews after just the first month of using our platform. To see the way that, you know, these folks not only adopted the new technology, but also were seeing it as such a valuable part that they could bring into their workflow. We then integrated that platform, our platform, directly into their ecosystem. So now they're seeing results live and living in their workflow that they participate in on a daily basis. So that's one example. But I would say it's really just the way that we engage with the folks using our platform, the way that this can help their daily life, that ultimately is the most exciting and that, wow, this is working moment.
So I don't know if you hear about the blackouts that were in Spain and Portugal this before summer. Do you think that the solutions like Buzz is offering could help with that? Imagine that Buzz was also, I don't know who are your clients, but yeah, do you think that your solutions will kind of could help to that situation?
There's a lot of ways that our solution can help with blackouts that ultimately can happen. A big portion of the way that we help with that is what I was mentioning earlier with upgrading the infrastructure so that the utility can meet the increasing demand that's coming online the increasing demand that's happening very quickly. We can help by upgrading the equipment itself so that utilities can onboard more renewables and they can increase the capacity that they can serve for all of their customers. So that's one of the common ways that we can help with ongoing blackouts. Another one too that we help with is we do a lot of work on preventative maintenance in a wildfire scenario. And this is not directly related to what you mentioned with the blackouts in Spain and Portugal, but one way that we can help on the wildfire side of things is we can alert to specific areas that may pose the most risk for a wildfire sparking. And today, as we see here in California, we have a lot of PSPSs or forced shutdowns to avoid the risk of a wildfire sparking. We can help the utility more clearly understand where they have the greatest risk exposure for a wildfire as it pertains to the physical health of their equipment and of the components that are on their grid. And so that's another way that we can help be a lot more targeted and refined on where a utility may need to turn the power off in order to help prevent a wildfire. So we're working closely with utilities on some of those types of solutions as well.
Okay. So right now, every industry, but talking now about energy, the energy industry and energy ecosystem is facing a lot of challenges from EVs, like electric vehicles, climate change, right? So where do you think AI can make the biggest difference in the next few years?
Yeah, it's a good question. I often say there's two ways we can think about it. One is the art of the possible. All the ways that AI can, if we were to implement it today, step in to help provide real value and create real impact. The reality is we're not going to get to the art of the possible today. There's so many steps of where we need to go. So when you talk about where can AI come in the next year to help create a real impact and bring a real difference, the truth is there's a ton of different ways that AI can be applied. But we often find ourselves working, at least with Buzz, we are working with our customers to say, how can we help you get to the art of the possible as quickly as you'd like to by starting with more boots on the ground applications? We actually find that's where AI can make the biggest difference today, is really in the true fundamental boots on the ground type applications. So we're working on several of them that are starting out with inventorying all of your assets that you have deployed in the field so that you understand how to better purchase equipment in the challenges that we're facing today with like supply chains. So, hey, I have, maybe it's like 100,000 insulators. Of those 100,000 insulators, maybe 15,000 of them have damages. So I know now that I have 15,000 insulators I need to replace today. But by using AI and by using our trend analysis and that type of thing, you can understand the next 2 to 3 years, maybe how many more insulators are likely to fail. And you could purchase those insulators ahead of time so that you have enough on hand when the time comes. You also can help direct your maintenance crews to do more preventative maintenance along the way. I would say that's a really base, as you may say, like specific use case or basic use case, but it has a real impact and a real value to the utility. The same thing happens on the wildfire side of things. We have several different use cases there where we see there's real impact to be had. And then another one is on the storm side of things. We also see time to getting quick insights can be really valuable and lucrative, especially in a post-storm environment where every minute matters for how fast you can get the lights back on after a hurricane has come through or a tornado or whatever it may be. The faster you can inspect the infrastructure, get the quick insights so you can re-energize the line, can make a difference in power restoration efforts. So I think it's an interesting time. Just to take a step back again to your question, is where we're at more broadly in the space is there's so many different applications of where AI can come in to bring value. But the question we need to be asking ourselves today is where can AI have the most impact and the most value today? And how can we use that as a way to create a flywheel to drive momentum forward for faster and more scalable AI adoption?
Good answer. I like it. It was very complete. Caitlin, I've got just one last question for you. If you had, I would say better, if you could give yourself to your younger self a piece of advice, what would it be? It can be related with the business part that you are doing or with your studies, but knowing right now, everything that all the story, all the background, all the experience that you've got today, what is the advice that you would give it to that little girl?
That's a great question. I always find that question so challenging because I don't know that I can just pick one. There's so many things I think I've learned. I'd say starting as a young founder in this space, especially in a more traditional industry, I think early on, I was really concerned about all the things I didn't know about the space. Because when you enter a space and you don't have a long background in it, it's hard because you're very quickly trying to learn the industry, learn the customer pain points, build the product, actually build your company while also learning and building and growing an industry. I'd say the most valuable thing that we have continued to do here at Buzz is bring in more industry experts so that we can continue to learn and grow from their depth of experience and learnings in the space, while also bringing folks who really understand the technology super. That's been something that's been very helpful early on, is it's okay if I don't have all the answers on the space, but we're continuing to bring in people that either A, know the space and have great depth in it super well, or know the technology, have great depth in the technology. And so bringing those two together has been really helpful as we've grown the team. So that's one thing. But the other piece of it too is not being afraid to ask all the questions. I'm naturally a very curious person. I want to know the why and the behind the scenes of almost everything because that's just who I am. But I would say that was something to me early on that was really helpful, was continuing to ask the questions, not being afraid to get in and ask the why. And then I guess the other aspect of that too is staying really close to the voice of the customer. That's something that we continue to do today. And now we are fortunate to just have so many wonderful partners, utility partners in the space and folks we know in and around the space. But early on, as we were building those, definitely important to be able to keep an ear to the ground of what's most important to the customer so that you're building a product, a technology, and a company that aligns with those biggest pain points, especially as they continue to evolve and shift.
I love it. I 100% agree with the be curious, like your curiosity away, because I feel like I'm also pretty much like that. So like, I love it. Just seeing other people too. Okay, Caitlin, thank you very much for your time and for joining the Humans on Air podcast. I hope that you have a great time too.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks for listening to the Humans on AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.